Lord, we're just thrilled to be in your house today, God. We pray in Jesus' name that you would open up the ears, open up our hearts. Lord, may we not just be hearers of the word, but doers, God. We just trust you. We believe you, Lord. And God, I pray that today the word will fall on good ground. I pray you would anoint me, Lord, that I would only say as much or as little as you want, Lord, because we know it's the work of the Holy Spirit. I yield to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask Matthew to get ready to come up. He's going to read the scripture. But first, I want to tell you a little story. So a teacher in school, you could come up, Matthew. A teacher in school was teaching the kids about whales. So a little girl had just been to church, and she had heard the story of Jonah, and she raised a hand. She said, "Teacher, teacher, I know the story of Jonah. The whale swallowed Jonah." And the teacher said, "That's impossible. There's no way. There's not a big enough passage for the whale to swallow a human being." So the teacher said to her, she said, "I'm going to ask Jonah when I get to heaven how it happened, because I don't know, but the Bible said it happened." So the teacher said, "What if he doesn't go to heaven and he goes the other place?" So the little girl looked at her and said, "Then you ask him." I love that about kids, don't you? I love it. I learned very early on in our life when we had our children that were young. And my daughter Lori's in the back, and I'm going to talk a little about her, a little about Landon, a little about Liz, a little about children. But it's so refreshing. Jesus loved the children. And Matthew, would you come up and read? I'm going to read from Mark 10, verses 13 to 16.
Mark 10, 16 to 13 to 16. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them.
Amen. Thank you so much, Matthew. Thank you. That was powerful. And it's just, I love this passage. It's obviously very important. It's in three of the Gospels. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. This story of Jesus taking time with the children and holding them on his lap. Now, stay with me. Some of you are looking like, "Well, this is nice, Pastor Angela, but what does this have to do with me? Obviously, I'm not a kid anymore." Hang with me, okay? Turn to your neighbor and say, "Let's hang with her." We see a beautiful side of Jesus here. You know, he knew he was facing the cross. He knew all of the things he was about to go through. And yet he had time to stop and to pay attention to children. And we just know that they must have seen something in him, that they gravitated to him. I believe he must have had like a little twinkle in his eye, a smile, something in his heart where the children felt secure and they knew they were accepted. Have you ever seen, my dad was like a kid magnet. Kids loved him, right? He'd go up and down the town of Valley Stream we lived in, and kids were so drawn to him. And he had that little twinkle in his eye. And no matter what he was doing, even in church, he was a pastor and pastored a lot of people. But the smaller the child, he would give them attention, the little ones, and he would get such a kick out of them. He'd come home and tell us all the stories of the children. I believe Jesus had that magnetism, but he had that care as well. I believe the children, they're very discerning. Children understand and know when they're loved, and they were gravitating to him. And yet we know that the disciples said to the parents and the ones that were bringing him, "You know, stop, don't bother the master. He's got a lot of things to do. You know, I don't think they were trying to be mean or rejecting, but I think that what they felt was that the mission of Jesus was so important. You know, don't bother him. But these parents knew that for the child to receive a blessing from a rabbi was very, very important. And they knew that Jesus was someone special doing all of these miracles. So the disciples said, stop, don't do that. And this is amazing. Jesus' reaction to the disciples in verse 14, it says that he actually became indignant. It uses that word. He was irritated. He was very displeased and annoyed with them. And he said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And what it meant is that children are very close to the kingdom. They understand. They have values. And Jesus said, don't hinder them from coming to me. You know, who knows? Had stories been written, what happened to those little children that sat on Jesus' lap, right? What about those children who were blessed by Jesus? I would have loved to know some of their stories. And I believe, Catalyst believes, that children are very important. That's why we have our Miss Maria and Mr. Jason, who love the children and pray with them. It's one of the first staff members we hired was a children's pastor, because we know how significant, how they are being molded and shaped at this stage in their life. Children are very important. And we do know that ministries like Child Evangelism Fellowship that we also support, that goes out doing evangelism, they're very significant in God's eyes. What is it about Jesus that, what it is about the children that Jesus loves so much? He took time for them. He must have seen something. And he said, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Did he see humility? Did he see unpretentiousness where adults are, you know, always having to put on an image or trying to portray somebody we're not at times? Did he see their trust in him, that they would just go on his lap and they would allow him to bless them? Children have like a short-term memory. They can get so upset, you know, and then the next minute they're okay. We as adults sometimes carry grudges for years and years. I think Jesus saw these things in them. I think he saw his faith, their faith, and their willingness they had for him to embrace them and bless them. So I was intrigued by this when I saw in the little sidebar of my Bible this saying. It says, should adults act like children? Was that what Jesus was advocating when he said to them, you know, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it? Was he saying that we should act like children? That fascinated me, and my eyes went right to that. I said, what are they going to say about that? Well, my Bible said Jesus didn't call people to childish behavior. Okay, I'm saying that again. Jesus didn't call us adults to childish behavior. What he called us to was childlike faith and childlike behavior. That is so important. Jesus didn't want us to be a bunch of spoiled brats that grew up and never changed or never grew in him or stayed at the same place all our lives. What is it? This is an important distinction. Examples of childish behavior. I love this, and I'm going to talk a lot about my little Landon in the back. I don't want to tell him to wave because then you may not get him quiet again. But I love when he goes there. He plays a little game. He gets so excited when he sees us. Right, Landy? Hi. He gets so excited when he sees us, and he'll run to us. And then right before he's out of our arms, he'll turn around and tease us and run away to tease us. I love that childish behavior. I love that about him. Me and my husband talk about that all the time. Also, have you ever noticed with children, when you stop them from going someplace because it may be dangerous or difficult, how they'll pretend to listen to you? How many have seen that? How many have been that? So we'll go over there and he'll want to get into something. And I think that I'm so cool because I distract him. I'll get another toy. I'll get another thing. And he'll pretend, oh, this is really cool. And then the minute I turn away, he's back at what he was doing. Is that something that we do as sometimes as childish? Childish. Children, they like to get their own way. Now, I'm going to tell a story about my daughter, Lori, in the back when she was little. Lori was what I would call an ideal child. She was our first child. She was the only child for 7.5 years. And she was really well behaved. Thank God I had Lori first. But I remember back in the days before we had, you know, video, DVD, FaceTime, Skype, and all of this, David's parents lived in Florida, and we lived in New York. So we used to make like a little cassette of Lori to send down to David's parents so that they could see how she was growing and hear her. And David would say, okay, now say hi, Nanny Poppy. She'd say, hi, Nanny Poppy, how are you? And then he'd say, okay, now I want you to sing the song for Nanny and Poppy. So all of a sudden, she'd start singing, God made the birds to whistle in tune. And she'd go through the whole song. Then he'd say, Lori, now play the violin for Nanny and Poppy. So she'd do that. And then we'd ask her something else. All of a sudden, she'd go, I want my Easter basket. In other words, we had made a deal with her. You do all those things, and we're going to give you your Easter basket. But she ran out of patience, and she just said, I want my Easter basket. Ryan, am I telling you? What's that? We have it on tape. But what is it like to be childlike? Childish are some of the things that I mentioned. I'm sure you could think of other things as well. I love when I go over land and to see the whole family, but I just love that Landon, he just hugs us, and he's so excited, and he hugs us, and then his favorite thing is, like, we noticed this at first, like, sometimes he would go from me to David, then back to me, and then back to David, and so David said, you know, I think he wants us to hug him together. So we started to hug him at the same time. And he stands in the middle of us while we hold him, just smiling and loving it. You know what? Children love unity. Children love when we're together. Children love when we can love them together, that we, you know, that's the heart of God. He loves when we as children, his children, have unity. Unity is so important in the Bible. You know, sometimes we make light of it, but it's so important. The Tower of Babel was going to be built by people who had unity for the wrong purposes, right? So God threw them into confusion, and they all started speaking languages that were different, and they were not able to complete the tower because they were trying to reach God. Unity is very important. It's a childlike behavior that's important to God. Loyalty, trusting. When you hold your baby in his arms, he doesn't wonder what you're going to do to him or her. He trusts you. She trusts you. She loves you. And that's a beautiful thing about being childlike. They have that short-term memory that even though they may get upset because you've deprived them of something they really want, when they still love you, they come right back to you. Isn't that true? They might throw a little hissy fit, but they come right back. I was also thinking about the faith of little children, and I hope you don't mind, Harry and Jediah. I was going to talk about your little girl, Isabella. One afternoon, we were out to dinner with this couple here. Just, you could wave. And we were in a restaurant, and I got to tell you, they were taking so long to serve us, and the kids were really well behaved considering how long they were taking, you know. And the waitress mentioned her name, and I think I had forgotten or something. So when we were talking, little Isabella, who was 4 at the time, right, she goes, oh, that's Crystal. She remembered the waitress's name, and the waitress was pregnant. And instead of us getting all irritated and stuff, she said, "Can I pray for your baby?" And she, in the middle of Outback Restaurant, put her hands on the waitress's stomach and prayed for the baby. There were people in the restaurant that were watching this, and they were so surprised at the faith of a child. And you know, sometimes we get so complicated. We try to figure things out. We try to use our adult minds for logic and other things. When a child just simply grasps the truth and the love of Jesus. And I believe the Lord wants to take us back to that first love. That love where we love Him. We're devoted to Him. We trust Him. We have faith, you know. Just last night when I was preparing for this message, I got a note from a friend who said that, you know, she had some aneurysms in her head. And I got so upset for her. And I wrote back to her and I said, "We'll be praying." I said, "You know, we're going to believe God for you." And I said, "If there's anything I could do." And then this morning, as I was praying for her, the Lord said to her, "You didn't tell her that I can heal her." And I thought to myself, I did everything but give her scriptures on healing. So this morning I started looking through the Bible at different scriptures on healing, like we talked about before. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. We get so complicated. We try to figure things out so much that we forget to take the Lord at His word. And we trust Him. We know that not everyone gets healed. I remember Pastor Benny saying this. He said, "If I could heal everyone, I'd go through the hospitals, I'd go through every institution, and everyone would get healed." We don't understand, but we're told to pray for healing and to have childlike faith. I know the story of a little boy. He had heard about faith in church, and his mom was sick in bed. My father used to tell the story, and he ran into the garage and got some motor oil because he saw the pastor was anointing people with oil. He got some motor oil, and he anointed his mother with it, and he started praying, and you know she was healed. With a child, sometimes we don't have to bypass all the hurts, all the disappointments, all the logic that says it shouldn't, it couldn't, it wouldn't. There's a heart that just trusts our Savior and that loves Him and that understands Him, even if we don't get the answers we want. You know, a child that's angry will stamp and throw a fit when they don't get their own way. And many of us, honestly, I'm talking to myself, all right? But we have been like this. When we don't get the answer to prayer that we want, we just stamp our feet, we turn our backs on God. Do you ever see a child when they're mad? It's okay to be childish, childlike, but not to be childish. The Lord really wants us to grow in things. He wants us to get out of the nursery. And there are some very sobering verses about this. I'm going to read them to you. You could write them down. I'm going to go through them really fast, but they're important. Hebrews 5, 12 to 13 says, "In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness." Ouch! Did anybody else feel that one? There are times by now we should be teaching. We should know the word so well. We should be discipling. We should be caring. But instead, we're always the one that's needing nurturing. We're always the one that needs somebody to help us along the way. Where by now we should be teachers. We should be on Whole Foods. We should be on steak. We should be on things that are going to give us protein so that we can be a blessing and we can help others. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is a sobering thought, but it's needed in our lives. I remember my mom. My mom didn't have a degree in college in psychology, but she was a psychologist. She loved Christian psychology. And she had like this God-ordained wisdom that was just unbelievable, beside discernment, which was a really hard one when you're a teenager and you don't want your mom to know what you're doing. But I remember that there were times that I would get really down. I had a tendency to depression and discouragement, and I used to go to Mom and I'd say, Mom, could you please pray for me? I'm fighting such and such, and I feel this, and I feel... And she'd say, sure, honey, come over here. Let me pray for you. And she would pray with me, and I would feel better. But then I would leak all of the joy. All of the happiness I found would go, and something else would come up. So I'd be like, oh, I need to go to Mommy again. And I'm not talking about now when I'm 4 or 5 years old. I'm talking about when I'm older, right? So I'd go back to my mom and tell her, Mom, I'm fighting this and I'm fighting that. Would you please pray with me? And she'd pray with me again. I'd feel better. And then a little while later, it's like that child who keeps going back to the same thing. You know, how many times has God rescued us from things? And yet we come to church and we're like, praise God, I came to the altar. I'm done with that. Monday, we go back. The third time or so I'd come to her, she'd say, now, honey, I want you to get this. Ready? This is real. You would pay thousands of dollars for this at a counselor. This is what she would look at me and she'd say, now, honey, get your mind off of yourself and go do something for God. Go do something for God. You know, they say a person tied up in themselves makes a very small package. I'm small as it is. Really, helping and serving like Jesus does is so important in our lives. Making our lives count for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, knowing we have purpose. I'm not saying to run ourselves ragged and just try to do good works. That's not. The last time I preached on that, right, Galatians 3, that Jesus did it all. We have to accept it. But if I'm full of his glory and full of his power, why wouldn't he want to use me instead of me always having to be filled up and filled up and filled up? We need to get to a point where we can be teachers, where we could be moms, dads in the Lord, where we can get out of the nursery and go to toddler and then beginner and then children's church, then youth, and then adulthood. Are you excited about that? Some of you sound disappointed. Are you excited? Do you want to be used by God? Do you want to find your full purpose? Do you want to stop going back to those things that the Lord has delivered you from? I remember once I was preaching here, and I was preaching on the storm and how sometimes we get into a storm in our lives and we don't even know. We're like the disciples who were on the Sea of Galilee, where storms just arise out of nowhere in our lives. Jesus spoke to the storm and stilled it. But the Lord had given me a word that day. He said, some of you keep daring the Lord. Like, you keep riding into the storm. You keep riding into the storm and saying, God, help me. He gets you out. You go back in the storm. Some of you, I'm just saying this prophetically, and I'm saying it to myself. We need to stop riding into the storm. We need to stop being childish. We need to be responsible. We need to stop doing the things that we know are not right for Christians to do, for adults to do, for people who are responsible to do. We need to grow in the wisdom and stature of the Lord. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 13:11. Thank you. 1 Corinthians 13:11 said, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man or a woman, I put away the childhood behind me, the ways of childhood. Honestly, we may have put away the toys, the stacking toy, the jack in the box, the riding toy. But some of us are still holding on to our childish toys where we're not growing. We're not growing in God. And then we get frustrated with life. We get bored. We say, why am I still here? The Lord wants to deliver us from that. If we need counseling, if we need prayer, whatever it is, we need to get at the root. We need to stop being childish every time we can't get our own way, or every time we feel like we can't get out of bed to go to church because we're tired, or we shouldn't work, somebody owes me a living, or whatever it is that is childish in us. We need to grow up in God. Please turn to your neighbor and say, I'm growing up in God. I'm growing up in God, Pastor Dave. I hope and pray. It's a desire. You know, one thing the Lord will not do is force us. Even Jonah, he kept running and running and running. And finally, he had to bend his will. Yes, the Lord will bring circumstances. Yes, the Lord will use things in our lives to help push us toward our destiny. But there's still a choice involved. He didn't make robots. He made men and women in his likeness and image. And we settle for so much less. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14:20 says, brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking be adults. 1 Peter 2:1-3 says in the Message, so clean house. Make a clean sweep of malice and pretense, envy, and hurtful talk. You've had a taste of God. Now, like infants at the breast, drink deep of God's pure kindness. Then you'll grow up mature and whole in God. We need to grow up, all of us. Believe me, I'm not talking down to anyone. I'm saying this to myself. There's so many childish ways in me sometimes. Sometimes I just go up and down like manic. But you know, the Lord wants to bring us to that place of peace in Him. Not that we don't feel what's going on around us. Believe me, just this week was so traumatic in some things for me. And sometimes I will have to just get back on course, get back to stability in God. Read the Word. You know, pray. Be in a positive environment. Sometimes we hang out with negative people who dump all this negative stuff on us, and then we wonder why we're down. Sometimes we need to be around some men and women of God. Sometimes we need to be a prayer meeting where we not only pray, but we hear testimonies that encourage our faith to move on in God. Sometimes we need to be in an atmosphere to learn more. Someone just told me, I don't want to mention their names because I don't want to embarrass them, but they felt led to do a study on intercession. God put it on their heart to do a study on intercession. What is God speaking to you? Are we going to just stay here feeling unfulfilled, feeling like whenever I can't get my own way, I'm going to stamp my feet, knowing that everybody else has to take care of me? Or are we going to be teachers? Are we going to be leaders? Are we going to be at the forefront of what God is doing in these last days? Hallelujah. As I was praying, I said to my husband yesterday, I said, you know, I'm going to be closing shortly, but I said to my husband yesterday, and I don't want you to miss this. I said, God gave me this message. It's, are we childlike or childish? I said, but something's still missing. I don't know what it is. So I just was praying. I said, God, thank you. Your word will never return void. So if it's just what you've already given me, I'll be faithful to speak it. But if there's something else, I want you to please download it from heaven, because I need it and others need it. And this morning it came to me. And it's stop the blame game. Stop the blame game. Have you and I ever watched a child being reprimanded? They made me do it. They were, it was their fault. They made me do it. You didn't give me enough food, so I had to steal a cookie. of their fault when they get caught, right? Then after they go through the whole song and a jig, they'll put their head down. And you finally get to the root. Now, why did you really do that? But I think many of us, and honestly, I don't want to make fun of this because it's so deep and so embedded in us, are still blaming things from our childhood, our youth, our environment, our circumstances, our physical challenges, whatever it may be, it's robbing us. We may find contentment for a moment to be in there blaming something else, but then we realize, wait a minute, God has so much more for me. I would challenge us, all of us. And you know, I will say this. I've gone for counseling in my life. One thing you get here, folks, is the real deal. Pastor and I have been with a counselor at times because I love the Word of God and I read it and it ministers to me, but there's some things I just can't get beyond. And there's some things I need intercessors. And there's some things that I just got to stop. But we need to stop blaming things. And I am so, so sorry if you were violated as a child. You know, Jesus goes on to say how much he's going to hold accountable those that have hurt children. There's repentance, there's forgiveness if they come to God. But don't think God winks at that. Don't think God overlooks it. But I say, why should our lives be ruined? By something someone did, or something someone said, or something someone disdained us with? Why should we use that all our lives to stay in a state of childishness, to prevent us from growing? I was thinking of the psalmist David. You know, he was a man after God's own heart, and yet he committed adultery. And the prophet confronted him with his sin. And after it, he wrote this beautiful chapter, Psalm 51. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he says this in Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean, some translations say pure heart, and renew a right spirit within me. You know, I've been reading some books this week on leadership, and it's come to be accepted. Listen. It's come to be accepted in our society that you could have a public and a private life that don't match. This book was chock full of examples of religious leaders, political leaders, and others that had a public life that was amazing. And they even espoused things that were wonderful. But in their private life, they didn't live it. I believe that's a divided heart. I believe that that's an impure heart. Because, see, pure means it's not mixed. Pure, I looked it up, means unmixed. We need to be the same person in private as we are in public. I'm asking the Lord more and more for this. And if childishness is part of that, we need to trust God to help us over this. We need to desire it. If you don't want it, it's never going to happen. If you're content with that, if you're content throwing a little hissy fit if you don't get your own way and then having everybody circle around you, then I guess this message is not for you. But I know in these last days, God is going to need men and women of valor. God's going to need men and women of courage. And it's not going to come when we're full of ourselves, when we're full of hurt and blame and negativity. It's going to come when we rise up. Now, I don't mean you shouldn't take care of your health or you shouldn't take care of things. There are times when it's overwhelming. Brother Andrew, you've been through so much physically in the last year. And thank God for his help physically, but thank God that he's been building you up on the inner man to heal even the trauma of what you went through. You see, sometimes when we go through things, there's such a trauma that we don't recover. It's like PTSD. I fight it myself. I've been through some things that there's triggers that when I hear of something or I see something or I believe something, all of a sudden that fear wants to grip me. And I go back to that helpless person who was shaking. God wants to encourage us. He wants us to be childlike, not childish. He wants us to be teachers, not always needing. And I'm not saying that you get to a point where you don't need teaching. We still do. I'm still a learner. I'm a life learner. That's a sign of leadership, is to be a life learner. But something has to change in us where we get out of that childishness and we stop pulling that card every time that we get discouraged, every time. And again, if you get discouraged, that's honest. You could call believers around you. You could call the prayer team. You can read the word. You could take a course. Like, I've been taking some courses, and I said to my husband, God is using them so much in my life. Because I have a tendency where the enemy will come against my mind and lie to me and make me depressed and show me things that are so horrible sometimes. It's been so helpful for me to take these courses and focus on the future that God has for me. What does God have for you? There's more. Let him give you a vision. Not our own vision. Mine has changed dramatically from what I thought as a teenager till now. I'm still having dreams and visions of what God wants to do with my life. But I'll tell you what, even if he doesn't, I love him. I know that whatever he's going to give me is going to be useful. I don't worship the dream. I worship the dream giver. And I'll tell you, God has exceedingly abundantly, above all that we can ask or think for you. There's more. There's more. No matter how old you are, Sister Hermione, you're one of our mothers in this church, Sister Margaret. You want some of the mothers in this church, Sister Sandra and others. We love you here. But God has more for all of us. And no matter how old we are, Sister Nilda, we can keep growing, right, Sister Nilda? She was a principal. You could probably tell us a lot of kids' stories, Sister Nilda. I should have called you up. But I say this honestly, not to put any of us down, but to want so much more. I hope you hear my heart. I don't only want more for me and Pastor and my family. I want it for you. I want it for you. I want it for you. I want it for each one of you. That the enemy doesn't rob us from our divine destiny because we can't see anything else but the past and what's happened to us. The kingdom of God is near those who put away the childish behavior, and we become childlike in our faith, devotion, our loyalty, unity. Oh, how much we love him. Like Pastor said in communion, it's so important just to be with him.